Well, once again, dear friends, it's good to be back. Would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As I shared with you, I visited a number of churches, but I'm going to tell you, I love to be back home, and I'm so thankful that God has brought us together. Have you ever been in church and literally, you know, as the worship is going on and as the preacher's preaching, have you ever thought, wow, I could have been at a funeral and got this. I mean, come on now. Are we going to have some honest hearts here? Anybody? Listen, I've been to some funerals that have been more exciting than some revival meetings. My mama's funeral was pretty exciting. You know, when you know that God is in it, there's a difference. So how is it then that there are some that inspire excitement and others inspire a good nap? What's the difference? What is the difference? Well, I'm going to tell you, no doubt, one of the first differences is you. No doubt about it. I call it how it is. Sometimes the difference is you as you're coming to worship. You can be the difference. Did you come prepared to worship? Did you come seeking God? Did you come right with God? But let's just say that you're on it. I mean, let's just say that you're right with the Lord, and it's not you. You're not what's holding back the Spirit from moving in your heart. What then? Is it that guy that leads the music? Did he have one of his buttons out of order, and that distracted you the whole time? Maybe it's the type of music. Maybe it's because they didn't have hymn books and they had a big screen. Or maybe it's because they had hymn books and didn't have a big screen. Was the sermon topical? Or was it verse by verse? Did he use the King James Version or did he use the CEV? And by all means, must the pastor wear skinny jeans in order for you to hear the message? In spite of the fact that 4 out of the 5 places I visited, the pastor wore skinny jeans, you're not going to see it here. The pastor has to be skinny to wear skinny jeans. So maybe your prayers need to be more effective. I don't know. Now, certainly, is it not true that our preferences really do make us more receptive sometimes? Let's be honest. Listen, of all the things that I've learned over the last month in spending time and extended time with the Lord, it's to be honest before God. So let me ask you, our preferences can really keep us from hearing and doing and being in a service when the things that are really not the way we like it might distract us. But I'm going to tell you this, is this not the truth, that it is not our preferences that determine whether or not God is in it? Listen, I've got my druthers too. I've got the things that I like and the way that I like them. Listen, you can be in 2 different churches that are doing the exact same thing, and one is dead as a doornail, and the other one is, woo! It's a fact. The question is not about how or exactly what, but it's a who. Is God in it? And you might say, well, pastor, if it's church, isn't God always in it? Listen, you know better than that. Just because it's church doesn't mean that God is in it. I want us to read about a church that the Apostle Paul said was a good example, said it was a good church. We're going to read about the Thessalonica church for just a few passages here. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. That sounds less intimidating than saying the entire chapter, but we're going to read the entire chapter. 3 men included in this letter, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only. This is important. Remember this verse. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all. What does all mean? All. All means all. Everyone. So let's read that again. So that you became examples to everyone, to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from the word of the Lord has sounded, for from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For us, we could say, it's gone out into Magnolia and to Montgomery and to the Woodlands. And even on that street where the church is, that street they call Corporate Woods, they're actually going to have something where they're going to be reaching out to the people on the street. That's a mission. That means you. That means me. You need some folks to sign up to do this so that we can be a message to all who are in our area. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say everything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Can I get an amen for God's word? Let's pray, but I want you to pray with your eyes open for a second here. Would you pray with me? The word of God that we just read. Father, we know this is your word, and God's people say, amen. We know it has a word for all those people out there, amen. And the preacher too. Amen. So God, it's a word for us. Amen. Now, Lord, would you let us hear it with effectiveness from your spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? What made Thessalonica a good church? What made them such a good example? Paul said they were a model church, but why? First of all, we start right there with verse 9 that says that they turned away from idols. What's an idol? Anything that stands between you and God. Amen. Could an idol be an object? Yes. Could an idol be a person? Yes. Could an idol be a job? Yes. An idol can be anything that stands between us and serving the Lord our God as we should. Well, that was a good start for them, that they turned from idols. But just turning from idols is not enough. Just voiding yourself of evil is not enough. Leaving a vacuum is dangerous, dear people. So it's not just about getting rid of all the bad stuff. It's not just about not being bad. It's not just not about being evil. You don't want to stay a vacuum in this world, I'm going to tell you. Listen to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 and 45. The scripture says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Now, he's talking about what? Demons. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. What is the house he's talking about? It's a person. And he says, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Have you ever known anybody who says, I'm going to get my life in order? Is that enough? Look what it says here. And then he goes, when he finds that house put in order, with him he finds seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and they dwell in that house, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. so shall it also be with this wicked generation. What's he saying? He's saying here that it's not enough just to put out the bad. It's not enough just to stay away from the evil. You need to do something else. Don't just be empty. Be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they turned from their idols, and it says they also served the true and living God. So folks, if you have something that's standing between you and God, the first thing you do in order to be a model citizen before the Lord is you turn away from your idols, put them out of your life, and then what? Turn to the living Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with Him. The fact is, you're going to serve somebody. You will serve someone. It might be self. It might be Satan. It might be the world. It might be your children. It might be your parents. It might be your grandkids. You're going to serve somebody. The question is, whom will you serve? Is it going to be the Lord your God? Spiritual success, dear friends, is serving God and joining Him in what He's doing. Amen? That's what Thessalonica church did. They were joining God in what He was doing. God wanted to save people. God wanted to encourage the church. So they were out there and they were encouraging everybody, it says. They didn't take turns saying, oh, I'm just going to choose this one or that one. Or that one came to church, so I'm going to... Everybody, it says. Now, verse 8 goes on. It says their testimony was strong and it went out to whom? How many? All. It went to everyone, and it went out everywhere. So they were a testifying church. What did they testify to? Oh, we have the best volleyball in town. Our guys cook the best brisket, and they do, but, you know. Is that what they're sharing? What word goes out? They were a testifying church. They were a teaching church. They were a preaching church. They were a sharing church. And they shared what? The testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, invite people to church. That's a great thing. That's a good thing. But folks, by all means, would you add to it your testimony of your faith in Jesus? We're going to talk more about that, so I'm going to stop there. These folks were mission-minded. And verse 8 says that they sent their people everywhere, just like we're asking you to do to help us on the street here in just a few days. Take the testimony of Christ. You see, they had the Word of God. They had the Word of God. We all have the Word of God. But they believed the Word of God. And that's good, right? Aren't churches supposed to have and believe the Word of God? Can somebody say amen? We are to believe and have the Word of God, but that's not all. They not only had it, they not only believed it, but they had something more. The Scripture says they had something else, something that set them apart from other churches. So much so that Paul said, listen, we give thanks to God for you all the time about what you're doing and how you're doing it, about your example, about your sharing your faith. What was it that set them apart? Verse 5, if you've got your Bible open, look back to it. Verse 5 says that they had the power of the Holy Spirit in their church. Look what it says. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in what? What does it say there? In power and in the what? The Holy Spirit. You see, there's a difference between just having a book, just having the right words. There's a difference in having the book and applying it to your life in the power of God. I've heard of people that would carry a Bible on the plane with them because they thought that it would protect them. They thought, oh, I've got God's Word. I'm afraid to fly. So they carried the Bible with them on the airplane. You think that's going to save them from crashing? Listen, it may not even save a real Christian from crashing, but it will save where their soul is going. Amen? They had the Word of God. but they also had the power of the Holy Spirit in their church. What a difference he makes. We need the Holy Spirit to be an effective church. We need it. Without him, we're not an effective church. Now, how do we know this? Because it says so throughout the Word of God that you must have the Holy Spirit. But even Jesus himself said it to the church before the church was established. He told his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 7, at the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "It's to your advantage that I leave you." And the disciples are going, "What? You're going to leave us?" He said, "It's to your advantage that I leave you." Really? Is it really to our advantage to have Jesus gone? What could be better than having Jesus walking with us, having Jesus talking with us in the flesh? What could be better? You want me to tell you? Having him with us inside our flesh, having his power inside our heart, walking for us and helping us and empowering us to do what he's called us to do. Faithful is he who called you, who also will accomplish it in you. That's the difference. The Holy Spirit's power. Why is that so important to us? Because there are some things that you cannot do and will not ever be able to do, and that no one can ever do without the Holy Spirit. I'm going to cover four things right here very quickly. Number one, we cannot understand the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit of God. You can't. How many times have you read something and go, "What in the world does that mean?" And then the next time you read it and the Holy Spirit just goes, "Bazinga." Yeah, you know. We can't understand Scripture without him. Anyone, the Scripture says, anyone can read the Bible, John 14, 26 and 16, 13. They tell us that the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. He teaches us what his word is about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 through 14, you go back and read that passage, it tells us that the understanding of God's word is hopeless. Hello? It is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. Do we need the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit to understand Scripture. Secondly, you cannot evangelize without the Holy Spirit. You cannot lead someone to Christ without the Holy Spirit. John 15, John 16, Acts 1:8 tells us that without the Holy Spirit, you can't be an effective witness for the Father, because only the Holy Spirit of God can convict them of their sins. Amen. Mamas, I want you to listen. Wives, I want you to listen. Husbands too, but I'm going to tell you, mamas, you seem to be stronger in this. Hey, I'm going to call it like it is. You cannot convict your children of their sin. Hello? And if I were going to take a little survey here, every hand of a mama would need to go up. Because we, and daddies too, but mamas seem to be better at this, or worse at this, whichever it happens to be. They try to convict their children of their sin. Am I wrong? They sure got quiet in here. Pastor, you were doing good till you got to meddling, right? Okay. You cannot convict people of their sin. Mamas, daddies, preachers, teachers, we cannot convict anyone of sin. Whose job is that, and who's the only one that can do it? The Lord our God, through his Holy Spirit, is the only one that can convict people of sin and righteousness. Third thing is, we can't glorify God without him. You cannot glorify God without the Holy Spirit. John 16, 14, Isaiah 43, 7. It tells us what our purpose is. Now let me ask you, I've been gone for a little while, but I bet you remember. What's your purpose? Say it again. To what? To glorify God. That is our purpose. Now, we do it in many ways, and God calls us even to different things to glorify him. But our first and foremost purpose is to glorify God. Did you know that's the work of the Holy Spirit? He calls you to do that, but you can't do it without Him. It is only the Holy Spirit of God within us that can glorify God. Do you know why? The Scripture says that our hearts without Him are wicked, deceitful, that we can't do anything good or right without Him. Without Him, we're unable to even do our basic created purpose, to glorify Him. The fourth thing that you cannot do without the Holy Spirit is you cannot do anything of spiritual value without Him. Now, I know we're going to cheat a little bit. We're going to fall back on Jesus on this, but He's the one who sent Him since He is a part of the Trinity. So John 15:5 says that in Christ we can bear much fruit. In Christ we can bear much fruit, but without Him we can do what? Nothing. I'm going to say it again. In Him, if we abide in Him, we can bear much fruit. But without Him, we can do what again? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be born again. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot produce holiness. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot pray properly. I mean, that's Galatians and Romans and Titus all wrapped up there. These scriptures and these passages tell us that. That's why Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us this. Are you ready? It says, therefore, because you can't do it on your own, therefore, because without Him you can't do it, you can't understand Scripture, you can't evangelize, you can't glorify Him, you can't do anything of value, therefore, let us walk by the Spirit and not in the flesh. We're to be walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You see, this church, this Thessalonica church, their secret to being a good church was that the gospel had come to them, not just in word, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. They were alive in Christ, amen? Their hearts burned with the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, you can tell when folks are on fire, amen? I mean, if there was a fire in this congregation right now, we'd all be trying to put it out. There's a fake one right up here. There's a fake fire. Nobody jumped up to put that fire out. If there was a fire in the auditorium, we'd know it, amen? Now listen, I'm not trying to just be funny. I am trying to tell you that when somebody has a fire for the Lord, you can tell it. Can I get an amen? Don't you love to meet those people, or do you run from them? I'm not talking about the crazies, dear people. Help me here. I'm not talking about those who are just seem to be, you know, weird. I'm talking about those folks that are really on fire for Jesus. There's a difference. Amen? There is. I'm talking about those who love the Lord so much, it just seems like they exude the love of God. You can tell when people are on fire for Christ Jesus. So what is the Holy Spirit fire? What is it? Where does that fire come from? Listen to Luke chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, talking about John the Baptist, he had been preaching and teaching, and man, he was on fire for God. And they were asking whether or not he was the Christ. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. What is he saying? Listen, we can do another sermon on this another time to talk about just that thing, Holy Spirit and the fire. Fire symbolizes God's presence. Fire symbolizes God's power. It is a consuming fire. It consumes the dross. It consumes the sin, but it also purifies our hearts. The Holy Spirit is often described as a fire representing His power to ignite faith and to inspire believers. How do we get it? Listen, if I could just say, line up right here, and we're going to start passing it out. Would anybody be in line? How do we get it? How do we get the fire? The fire comes from God. And I'm going to tell you, how many times in God's word does he give us the commandments to say, the very first commandment is the one you need to remember. What is the very first commandment? To what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And you put all those scriptures together and it'll add strength. How do you catch the fire? You love God. You love him with all of your heart. It's loving him that brings us into relationship. It's talking with him. How do we kindle the fire? How do we fan the fire? That's what we see in this Thessalonian church. Their love for God burned because it's of the love of God. And their hearts, because their love burned for him, their hearts yearned to serve him. Now, there's many other examples in the scripture, but I'm going to give you just a couple more. There was a church at Ephesus, and in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus gave a word about this church at Ephesus. They were a church. Let me read it to you. Revelation 2, 1 through 3. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write this. These things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Listen to what Jesus says. I know your works. Boy, they had works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. And you have found that they were liars, and you have persevered, and you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Listen, folks, that's a church. Amen? This is a church that was on fire for God. How many members did they have? They must have been a... You don't know. How big was their sanctuary? It doesn't matter. What did matter? They tested their teachers. They had a fire for God. They preached. They taught. They labored for God. They did not quit. They persevered. Folks, they were on fire for the Lord God. But what happened to them? The very next verse, verse 4, tells us what happened to a church that had been on fire. What did it say? Do you remember? It says, I have this against you because you have lost your what? First love. What is that saying? It said their heart for God had cooled down. They got more excited about their day off than they did about being in God's house. They got more excited about their ball team than they did worshiping the Father. They were more concerned about stuff around their house and their neighborhood than they were about being in the worship service to praise God. Church at Ephesus had been on fire, but God said, I've got something against you. You've cooled off. There's another example there that's found in Revelation in the very next chapter. In Sardis, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Jesus told them, he said, you people have a reputation for being alive. You've got a reputation out there among the people. You've got a reputation that y'all are a good church. You've got a reputation that you do things for people. You've got a reputation that y'all are godly. But he said, I want you to know this, you're dead. You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Can a Christian church have a good reputation and be dead? Better say yes, Jesus Christ just said it happened. You can have a great reputation and be dead. You can say the right things. You can do the right things. You can follow the right things. You can have it on your walls. You can even have a big church. But if you've got no fire for God, guess what? You're dead. There's another church there in verses 14 through 19. The church of Laodicea, you already know what happened to them, right? I know that you know what it says about them. The Laodicean church had lost their fire. Jesus said, you're lukewarm. I wish that you were cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Well, how about that? It made God so sick he wanted to vomit. He said, lukewarm, and I will vomit you out of my mouth. You know what? Lukewarm is a matter of what? It's a matter of heat. Lukewarm is a matter of fire. Lukewarm is a lack of fire. And they had no fire. What is it that they lacked? Power from the Holy Spirit, because they had let their love grow cold. I'm going to tell you this. Keeping the fire, keeping God's Holy Spirit, the power of His Holy Spirit in the church, is what makes for a good church. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. It doesn't matter what kind of sanctuary you meet in. It doesn't matter if the pastor wears skinny jeans or not. Amen? What matters is that you're preaching the word, you're teaching the word, you're receiving the word, and you're growing closer to the Lord because you love Him with all of your heart. I know y'all know, you remember the Aggie and the chainsaw, right? He took the chainsaw back to the dealer because the dealer told him he could cut down, 12, 15 trees a day with that saw, and it wasn't working. He brought it back and said, this thing doesn't work. It's no good. And the dealer looked at it, and he said, well, let's check it out. He reached down, pulled the handle, and the Aggie jumped back and said, what's that? I know you know the joke. It's old. But here's the thing. Once the dealer pulled the cord and it started, the Aggie knew about fire. It had fire. He knows when a saw has fire, and now he knows when it doesn't. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what. God knows when we've got fire and when we don't. Maybe the Lord just prayed. We need to pray that today. Say, Lord, just reach down. Give me a little jump start, Father. Give me a big jump start, Father. Folks have asked me, how do you know when you have the fire? It's like the chainsaw. You know when you're working dead, and you know when you're working with fire. You know when you're touched by God's fire. You know it. And the church knows it. And the people outside the church know it. That's why Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us, be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's not just a one-time filling. I know we've talked about this before, but I got to say again, it doesn't mean be filled with the Spirit once, like when you got saved and that's all you're going to need. It means be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because we leak, and we need to continually be filled. We need to keep getting the fire. We need to keep fanning the flame. And somebody out there is going to go, well, preacher, well, you came back with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I left with the Holy Spirit. I just got it fanned a little bit on the fire while I was away. Amen. We need to fan the fire. We've got to continually seek the Holy Spirit and seek God to keep fanning His fire. You need it. Listen, we all need it. We all get a little cold. Listen, there are times when the charcoal in your grill, one of those little coals falls off to the side, and all the rest of them are cooking just fine, but that one off by itself, it just kind of starts turning black again. You know what you need to do to get it fired back up? The first thing you need to do is put it back on the fire with the other coals, and you need to fan it a little bit. Amen? I'm sure glad you're on the stack this morning. Man, if I hope and pray that I can fan your flame. God wants you to be on fire for Him. If you're not staying in prayer, if you're not staying in the Word of God, if you're not humble before God, if you're not repentant before God, your spirit will grow cold. We need the real fire, not fanfare, not running around crazy. I'm talking about the real thing, the presence of God's Holy Spirit. You cannot fake the Spirit of God. You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? You remember that story where all of the priests got together and he said, let's have a test and see who the real God is. And they got their offering and they put it out there, and the real God was going to strike the offering with fire and burn it up. And they prayed and they hollered, and it said they began to dance around and jump around and cut themselves and do all kind of stupid things trying to get their God to light the fire. And then what did Elijah do? Did he jump around? Did he cut himself? Did he scream and shout? I love it. He very calmly dug a trench, filled it up with the water, covered the offering with water, and he very calmly looked up and he said, show him who's God. That's a Gary Ladd translation. Show them who's God. Show them who is real. And God sent his fire down, consumed the offering, consumed even the rocks that were offering was on, consumed the water, licked up all the water out of the ditch around there. Listen, you don't have to be crazy to call on God. You just have to have faith. You just have to ask. You do need to ask. If you don't have God's fire, you are cold. You're dead, according to the Word. Why would anyone in this world want to come to a dead church? I ask you, why? You say, but preacher, does that really matter? I'm not keeping them from coming to church, am I? The rest of the people can be on fire. Listen, can I tell you something? You are the church. So I thought they were. No, you. And until you come to grips with the fact that you individually are the church. Yes, we as the whole are the church, but you individually are the church. And your testimony will fan flame or pour cold water on the flame. Which is it going to be? Again, what is it that makes God want to vomit us out? Not lack of heat, a lack of fire. We work so hard, don't we? So many times we work so hard to make the church and to make ourselves acceptable to the world. Well, we need to be like them. We need to show them that we can relate. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there are times we want to be cool before the world. We want to be cool before our friends. But what they need to see is not our coolness, but what they need to see is the fire of God. They don't want your coolness. They're not looking for your coolness. They're not looking for your ability just to relate because you're like them. Folks, they want to see in you something that's different. They want God's fire, not an emotional craze, but an obedience to the truth, godly fire. And if you've got no fire, you've got no Holy Spirit. And if you've got no Holy Spirit, dear friends, you've got no fire. Nathan shared a quote from Charles Spurgeon for me this week. It goes like this. Listen to what, I love the way he said this. He said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. Of course, we already knew that. It's in God's Word, right? But then it says, we are like ships without wind, or chariots without horses. We're like branches without sap. We're withered. We're like coals without fire. We're useless. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And friends, I'm going to tell you, fire starts with your love of God, but it doesn't stop there. Real fire gets fanned by one thing that is greater than all others, and that's prayer. It must start with prayer. You know, Jesus Christ said, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. Did he say it's going to be a house of preaching? No, listen, preaching's good. Did he say it's going to be a house of giving? He said it's going to be a house of gathering. He said it's going to be a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. It's got to start with prayer, because prayer breaks you. It breaks the church. It prepares the soil of your heart to receive the seeds of what God wants to plant in you. And if you're hard-hearted, prayer will loosen that soil and it'll prepare you for what God's got for you. Prayer fans the flame of God in your heart. Preaching is great. I love to preach. I love it when you love my preaching. But prayer is better. Prayer is better. The Holy Spirit, if you go back and read Acts, the Holy Spirit came when the church preached? Nope. When the church what? Prayed. Can I call you to prayer today? Can I ask you to join me in prayer? Can I call Christ's church to prayer? This church where I'm privileged to be a pastor, can I ask you to fall on your knees and seek the heart of God? Will you do that? Listen to 2 Chronicles. You know this passage, but listen to it anew. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Can I call you to prayer? Can we pray now? I'm going to ask you, if you are physically able, will you join me on your knees? You may want to come down here. I pray that the altar is filled. You may not be physically able to kneel. That's okay. But if you will kneel in your heart, will you humble yourself enough before God to kneel and pray? And if you're able, do that even now, or come to this altar and pray. And I'm going to ask you to pray. And you may not say, Pastor, I don't know what to pray. I'm going to guide you in that. Whether you're here in this auditorium, whether you're watching on television, I'm going to lead you in just a moment. Would you join me in prayer? I'm going to give you just a moment. Would you come and would you kneel and let's pray together? First, dear friends, I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Father, I pray for receptive hearts. God, I pray that your people, those that are called by your name, would humble themselves and pray. That we would seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. God, we pray for a fanning of the flame of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that even those that are listening now, maybe not even knowing how to pray or what to pray, God, I pray that they would begin today. So I pray for them, Lord. Bring their hearts to you. If one does not know you today, Lord, please let them say so. Let them come to someone and say, I need Jesus. But for the rest of us, Father, that know you, God, we pray that you would ignite the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So, friend, here's where your prayer starts. Acts, A-C-T-S. Pray right now. Pray a prayer of adoration to the Father. Give him praise. Tell him how wonderful he is. Remind him that you know that he is omnipotent. That he is faithful. That he is merciful. That he is forgiving. Now confess two things. Confess your sin to God. God, I have sinned. I confess it before you. I need forgiveness. God, please forgive me. Confess the need of his power in your life, that you can't do it without him. Confess that you need the fire of God. ask him to restore it. Now give him thanksgiving that he is the Almighty Father. Amen. God, we thank you. We praise you. We give you thanksgiving for always being there, never leaving, never forsaking us. And our prayer is not complete, dear friend, without supplication. So we yield to the bending of the Father. Will you yield your heart and your life to him? Start there and say, God, Heavenly Father, I know I'm your child. I know that your Holy Spirit lives within me. Forgive me, Lord, for letting my heart grow cool, lukewarm. Today, Lord, I'm asking you for a fresh work in this, in my heart, in my life. I'm asking for a work of the Holy Spirit in my heart, Father. Confess to him that you know his word says that he will give you grace. And more grace. Amen. Thank you. Now tell him, thank you. Thank you, God. I acknowledge that you will give me grace, and I acknowledge my need. I ask for a fresh stirring and filling of your Holy Spirit. I know that apart from your Spirit, I can do nothing. Fill me, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart to see you. Complete your work in me, Father. Fill me with your power. Let me, Lord, know the height and the depth of your love, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, restore me to the joy of your salvation. Renew my love for the beauty and freedom of walking in holiness. Here's your prayer. Lord, fill me with your fire. Fill me with your love. Help me go from this place and be a witness, like the Thessalonica church, Lord, of your love and your grace and your power everywhere. And if that is your prayer, dear friend, will you join with me by saying, I love you, Lord. Fill me with your fire. And then all God's people said, amen and amen. Any amens? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Before we leave today, you are going to have an opportunity to express, even in a written word, your desire to be filled with fire. In just a few moments, we're going to have a chance for you to go out, and I'm going to ask you that when you go out, we're going to sign the beams this afternoon. You're welcome to sign the beams. It may be your only time. Because you have to have a hard hat and all that until they have it, especially they got all the holes covered up. They have gone to a lot of trouble in preparation for us today. So would you go out and join us, sign it. And whatever scripture you put on there or anything you put on there, I want you to add one thing. Will you asterisk it and go, I'm going to keep the fire. Hello? Will you do it? I'm going to find me a place right in the big middle. I'm going to keep the fire. Listen, if you belong to God, you already have the Holy Spirit. It just needs to be fanned every now and then. Amen? Amen. Let's get it fanned. I want to introduce someone to you. And that we have the pleasure of having Bob Postma with us today from Paradigm. And he has a little presentation he's going to make. Even as we get to start signing today, they have a little presentation they want to make to the church. So we're going to ask them to come up and to do that for us. And then we are going to be dismissed to go keep the fire on the walls. Amen. Bob.
Thank you. We at Paradigm are very excited to be working on your project and are just super excited that part of our mission is to help you with your
There we go. Yes, sir, please.
At least you can get away without it, but it's a pretty big room.
We're working here? Okay, good.
So
I'm Bob Postma. This is Cannon Klavinsky. He's our project manager on site here. And we have the honor of being the constructors of your new facility. And we're super excited, and it's been fun. We spent the last hour watching the kiddos here go out and either make some handprints or some messages on the beams. And that's been a delight to see that youth and the energy that some of these kids have out there. And the excitement then that this building's going to create and help keep growing this church. So we're super excited. We wanted to present the church and the pastor here with a commemorative shovel from our groundbreaking.
Amen.
Cool. So this has the Fellowship Baptist or Grace Point Fellowship Baptist Church Children's Building groundbreaking ceremony March 2nd, 2025. We've got the logo engraved on a chrome shovel. So
cool.
Congratulations.
I want y'all to notice he said ceremonial. I'm not going to be a part of the construction. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Well, we're super excited to be part of this mission for you. And we're just glad that we can keep moving. We've had some weather challenges and some other things that have come up. But with God's grace, we're still plowing forward as hard as we can in order to get this mission complete. So glad to be part of it. So thank you very much for the opportunity, and we look forward to, I keep hearing there's more here, right? So keep growing, more kids, more everything. We're ready to go for the next one too. So we appreciate that. So
thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you. We're glad to have y'all as a part of it as well.
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin? And to draw you in close to him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have. Did you know that God's word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he came to this earth, that he lived his perfect life, that he died on the cross for your sin, and that he rose again so that he might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that he is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer, invite him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from you. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank you, Father, that he rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask you to rescue me from my sin. And I place my faith in you alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.